It is hour number three of Shirts and Skins with Chad and Trey. We pick out the stems and seeds at 2:45. The Lakers clinched the one seed last night. At 2:30, why August 4th matters, including one of the all-time great desserts. And in mere minutes, the Big 12 finally makes a macro decision on the 2020 football season. I'm Trey Elling, and sitting across from me, it is Chad Hastings.
Yes, indeed. Before we get back into the Big 12 schedule stuff, we're getting some good text in on the Specs text line, 337-3776, involving the Audi ad that they had to get rid of and apologize for with the four-year-old or the, I don't know if that's actually how old she is, the toddler and the banana standing in front of the car. This text says, it would have been okay had the little girl been holding an open-faced roast beef sandwich and a hot dog. This one says, if she'd had a bag of goldfish in her hand, PETA would have been upset at the ad. Yes, and someone says, no, Chad, no sippy cup. We can't go there. And someone sent us a Jeffrey Epstein joke. So the text line has responded, 337-3776. And if you have not seen that story, just I'm sure if you Google Audi today, you'll see the ad. And you can determine if you think it's a horrible, terrible thing and if you need to comment somewhere on the internet.
Have you watched any of the Jeffrey Epstein stuff that's available on Netflix right now?
I have not done it, no.
I want to inform myself on this story, but according to everybody who's watched it already, it is some sick stuff, man.
I have not opened that door yet, Trey. Last few times to Netflix, I've been hitting some comedy stuff. Little Jim Jeffries, little Patton Oswalt, Eric Andre has a stand-up that I checked out recently,
okay.
But I have not journeyed down that jet. Is it a series or is it like one movie?
It's a one documentary? It's a limited series. I want to say it's like 6 or 7 episodes.
Okay. See, knowing I've got to commit to that, like I just committed to that Outcry show because I'd forgotten about the story from here in the area, and I thought I need to, you know, go through that because I just don't recall every detail.
Can only take so many heavy stories like that,
right,
though.
I'm trying to lighten up with some comedy between the two, and then at some point, maybe I'll jump in and read about Epstein, but I don't know much about that story.
So here's a lighter story for you, Chad, from my life this morning. We picked up Walter's ashes today.
Oh, well, that is the lighter side, isn't it? You picked him up from the vet?
Yes. It takes him, I guess, a week or two to make the cremation process happen. We went for the individual cremation, and Justine went to pick up the ashes today. And I was curious how we would get the ashes because we had to pay, I want to say it was like $250 or something for the cremation, which...
That's excessive.
I don't have any point of reference. Thank you for what it cost to cremate somebody or something. So we just went ahead and paid it, and we got the ashes back today. And I assumed it would maybe be in like a plastic bag in a Folgers cup, but
hopefully it was a little classier than that.
Yeah, the vet gave it to us in this little wooden box. So the plastic bag of ashes is inside this nice wooden box, and encasing the wooden box or covering the wooden box was like this felt bag, kind of like a Crown Royal bag.
Okay.
But it was maroon, and the message on the outside of the bag said, "You'll see your best friend on the other side." And I was like, "Guys, we're not children here. We don't have to keep this doggy heaven bit alive."
Oh, stop it. They're trying to comfort the people.
For the owners who are already mourning the loss of their dog, now you're trying to fill their heads with delusional thoughts like that.
They're trying to comfort the people. Just wake up. Come on.
I mean, it was a nice little message, but at the same time, I was a little bit annoyed.
It's not going to hurt them to think about doggy heaven.
But I'm also the person who's having a hard time telling my almost 4-year-old that there's a doggy heaven right now. So
right. Again,
maybe this is on me.
You need to be willing to construct doggy heaven in your mind, but also more importantly in their minds. Construct the doggy heaven. What does he get in doggy heaven? What don't they have in doggy heaven? That's what it is.
A texter made a great suggestion for a book called Dog Heaven. We've read that book for our kids a couple of times. They're over it already. I told you last week, by the end of the week, Calvin was exploiting our dog's death. He was like introducing himself to people as, "Hi, I'm Calvin. My dog just died." Because he knew that was going to get him something extra.
I absolutely love that he's like rolling into ice cream shops like, "You know, I'd love to pay for that second scoop." But my dog just died. Did I mention that? Hi, I'm Calvin. My dog just died.
Got himself out of a grounding over the weekend.
Did he really?
Calvin, go to your room for 3 minutes. But, Dad, Walter just died. All right. It's okay.
Oh, come on, man. Yeah. That's the imagery you want to see if you can create. Like, whatever you like in life as a dog, you get as much of that as you need, right, when you get to heaven. Whatever food you like, you get to eat. Whatever animal you like, you get to chase. I always wonder if the dog goes to heaven and love to just chase the squirrels, but not kill the squirrels. Does he get to do that as much as he wants to in doggy heaven? What do you want to do here in heaven? And they like take your order when you arrive in doggy heaven if you're the dog. Yeah, I like to chase the squirrels and then swat them against a wall with my paw. You want to eat them then? No, I don't like to eat them. I'm not sick. I just want to smack them against the wall and then be done. All right, we'll let you do that all you want.
Well, I feel like the squirrels in doggy heaven are like the Robert Patrick character in Terminator 2 Judgment Day, where the dogs can just tear them to shreds. And then after the dog like turns around and goes looking for a ball or another squirrel, that squirrel just comes back together to be whole again.
Liquid metal squirrel.
Yeah.
That sounds like a really bad horror movie, Liquid Metal Squirrel. My wife would watch all of them, though. Liquid Metal Squirrel 4 and 5, she'd watch it all.
Or a really good Christian metal band.
Ooh, yeah.
Liquid Metal Squirrel.
Liquid Metal Squirrel. We're back. Thank you for coming out. All right. So as we jump in here, this 2 o'clock hour, the Big 12 has at least taken one step into letting us know what they want to do. But they haven't officially, 25 days away from supposed game one, they haven't let Oklahoma know that they're officially not playing, although I think Oklahoma's taking care of it on their own. I heard Jeff Howe this morning on Light the Tower talking about Lincoln Riley basically pulled his guys out of practice. They have stopped practice, gone back to just regular conditioning. They know that they're not playing on the 29th, even if we don't know. The Big 12 is going with a 9+1 plan, which kind of reminded me of that Chris Rock bit back in the day where he talked about the old lady in his neighborhood that used to just dial 9-1 and just wait for him to do something. So it's the 9+1, and this is what we thought they would do, Trey. You talked about that you kind of figured this was sort of their idea. It's because it's almost a data point discussion for them. They don't want to get to the end of the year and have a bunch of teams with 9 games being compared to a bunch of teams with 10. Right? They know the committee needs to look at apples to apples.
And that's why I proposed the Big 12 playoff idea over the weekend and then also on the show yesterday. But ultimately, I get why they did this. This is the better option than going conference only, unless you were considering bringing BYU in for a single season. I don't think that was ever really a strong possibility for them. So at this point, what you do instead is load up on mediocre to bad competition, beat the hell out of that team with your week one game to try and knock the rust off for the games that actually matter.
The other thing I realized about your plan, as much as I loved it yesterday, I'm driving home realizing, oh, that's why I love Trey's plan, and that's why it can never happen. Because your plan speaks against this version of college football.
Mm-hmm.
Because your plan could create a moment where Oklahoma is the best team in the conference, but they get knocked out along the way in your little tournament, and then there's nothing to present to the committee. Then the committee would be looking at a Big 12 champion, they put it in air quotes, that might have lost a game or two, and they just get thrown out of the discussion, and 4 other teams get put in the playoff. That's why that plan couldn't happen today. Even though I love the idea, in a perfect world, your plan could work.
You're right about that. The flip side of that, though, is in a year where we have a bunch of 1-2 lost college football teams, say we have 1 undefeated team, or maybe we have no undefeated teams,
mm-hmm.
and you end up with going conference only in this conference tournament at the end of the year, say Texas beat Oklahoma in the regular season, those two teams meet again in the championship game and Oklahoma beats Texas, all of a sudden you have 2 11-1 teams that have a really good argument because they're 2 of the best teams in America of getting into that college football playoff.
There you go.
I'm going to keep peddling this thing really hard, Chad, until the Big 12 makes a scheduling announcement probably in 3 weeks.
Man, I like the idea. I like the idea. So they've got to rearrange Oklahoma because if they play Missouri State, we talked about it earlier, they'd have 4 weeks off before the game against Baylor. You can't do that. So in your mind, is this just as simple for Texas needs to reschedule South Florida and then go ahead and play UTEP on the 19th? Is that the easiest way?
Yes, because you're hooking up not only an in-state school, but a school who is a part of the University of Texas system.
Mm-hmm.
And when it boils down to it this year, you're having to cut out a lot of teams that do rely on this game for income to not just fuel the football season, but to fuel their entire athletic department over the course of a year. And it's unfortunate that they are losing out on, or that South Florida is losing out, I should say, but you have to look after your own here. And UTEP, when you really examine things and consider that they're not only in the state, but they're also a part of this school's system, the statewide system, you let UTEP be that team that gets that payday.
So in terms, depending on which team you're looking at, you got to look at, you know, the different options of what they want to do. Here's something else to consider. When you just, if you're looking at a team in the Big 12 and you say, well, all they need to do is move that game, right? Let's take Tech. Tech is at, supposed to be at UTEP, can't be at UTEP now. You got to ask them if they want to come to Lubbock. If they say no, you're stuck and you got to find somebody. But let's say they agree to come to Lubbock. It's supposed to be September 5th. Well, if you don't want to do it September 5th and you want to move it for whatever reason, then you have to look at UTEP's schedule, because UTEP might have a game that's on that schedule. So could you move it a week or could you move it 2 weeks? Not necessarily.
So UTEP is in Conference USA. Has Conference USA said what they're going to try and do just yet?
No. I don't think the AAC or Conference USA has made a plan officially as to what they're going to do.
Okay.
So you kind of have to right now respect, maybe respect their schedule a little bit to see what they've got in place, you know, before you move it. Texas Tech doesn't play conference till the 26th of September. If they still played UTEP on the 5th, they'd have 2 weeks before conference. Then they play two conference games and then have another bye week. So I think more bye weeks is going to make sense for the Big 12. I wonder, though, if they're going to try to compact this. If they just say, let's move it back. Let's keep moving back as much as we can, keep moving back, and find a day. These other two conferences have said the 26th. Is that when we want to start, or do we want to go ahead and, I mean, they've got games scheduled as early as the 12th in conference.
Yeah.
So do they want to go ahead and do that, or are they going to push?
I think what they need to try and do is have teams start uniformly on the 19th and push the conference championship game back by a week also to December 12th. That allows you those two bye weeks to work with. And for Texas and a number of other schools, that bye week's going to come week two of the season. That's okay this year because you are not totally sure what's going to happen after that first game. If UTEP or South Florida, whoever it is, comes in and you end up with a little bit of an outbreak on your roster as a result, you want 2 weeks to be able to deal with that, to quarantine guys, to get guys healthy before you play that first conference game against, is it Kansas State this year?
Yep.
Against Kansas State in Manhattan.
I was about to say, it's on the road, too.
Which even with 10,000, 5,000 fans, however many end up in that stadium, that's always a tough game for the Longhorns.
Yeah, just getting there will get you the flu.
Yeah.
Some kind of flu. Another team I was looking at, this is a weird one, is so Iowa State. They rescheduled the Iowa game and put Ball State in. So they have three games scheduled right now. South Dakota, Ball State, and UNLV. My gut would be get rid of the first two and play UNLV. That would be the first, you know, my first gut feeling, and I think it is scheduled as a home game for Iowa State. I'd have to double check that. Again, this non-conference game has to be a home game. So that's like we talked about earlier. TCU technically scheduled to go to SMU, so probably can't have the Skillet game unless SMU is willing to have another road game, which probably they won't. And then you can't do West Virginia Pitt because each conference has said, no, these non-conference games have to occur in the state of the team, or in the Big 12's case, it has to be home. So those two teams can't play. So we're really losing a couple other possible rival games. And like you said, it's just going to end up being the Big 12 playing some little guys. That's what the ACC is going to have to do too, because the ACC lost their dance partner with the SEC and have no options combining with the Big 12. It's going to be them against little guys. Honestly, I think the AAC is going to be a big get a big boost out of this.
I was just about to say, the AAC probably stands to benefit more than any other conference right now, because even though not every single one of their teams will end up playing a Big 12 or ACC team, enough will that will matter for them. Even losing a game like South Florida is going to lose the Texas game, I'm pretty sure right now. Even losing a game like that, they will find enough games in return that it will still be worth it for them.
So because of what they've already lost, Florida State, and there's another game, and they were going to play Maryland. West Virginia only has one non-conference game that's scheduled right now, and it's, get ready, Eastern Kentucky on September the 12th. But, Trey,
in Morgantown?
Yes, in Morgantown.
Okay.
And yes, thank God they're not going to Eastern Kentucky.
Yeah, no kidding.
But then because of the AAC thing, I was looking at teams. You mentioned Temple yesterday and could maybe Temple would be able to play them on September 19th or October 3rd, either one.
Okay.
They're available on either one of those days. So the AAC, which we will, people make fun of it because you know why they call it the American Conference? Because it's literally all over America. This could help them because they're spread out. It's a bit of a joke at times that Temple and SMU are in the same conference.
Yeah.
But it's not a joke now. Now that teams are looking for, so part of that conference could help out the Big 12, and part of that conference could help out the ACC. That may be what they have to do. And I still keep asking the question, because we've seen it before, do any of the teams in Texas care to give the respect to maybe some of those Southland schools, or is it going to be more of a UTEP discussion? Tech and Texas are scheduled to play UTEP. If they both did that, UTEP would end up with those two games and, get a little money out of the situation.
And Conference USA is planning on an 8-game conference schedule right now, and they're actually willing to let their members play extra conference games to try and get up to 12. So it looks like Conference USA is trying to achieve that 12-game mark. So you know they'll be gung-ho to keep whatever games currently exist on the schedule and maybe even be flexible to move around, let's say, like UTEP and Texas Tech. If Texas Tech needs to move that game back by a week, assuming it's not happening on the 19th and they get to keep the game here in Austin, they would probably be up for that.
So unless they get a new team in, here's the Kansas State decision. They're playing Buffalo and North Dakota in non-conference because they lost their game with Vandy, I think is who they were going to play. So what do you do? Like, my gut would tell them, well, North Dakota is a bigger deal in their world,
yeah,
but Buffalo is at a higher level, so you'd probably get rid of North Dakota there. But that Buffalo game is scheduled for September 5th, so then you'd have to check Buffalo's schedule. Are they good to move it? Do you really want to go September 5th and then you don't play? You'd go 1-2. Well, they have 2 weeks off and then go to West Virginia to start conference. Maybe that's what you do.
I think you need to go uniform start time for all these schools, even if it is the 12th or the 19th. The Big 12 needs to make a decision on that because otherwise you're providing a little bit of a competitive edge to teams that get that extra bye week off.
So let's see if we can figure out, not that we really would know, but imagine, if you will, being in the meeting room. I'm guessing they were in Dallas last night trying to figure this out.
Probably a Zoom call.
Zoom call. So we talked about it. My prediction came true. I predicted yesterday that there's absolutely no way they were going to give us the full schedule last night because that would mean they were thinking ahead. So do you think they actually got in a room and talked about 4 or 5 different options and at the very end of the night said, okay, all right, fine, we're going 9+1, make it a home game for the non-conference, we'll figure out the rest later, Bob, you tell them. Like, did they get to that point at the very end of the night? Or did they know it ahead of time? Did they know walking in, or did they know at some point they were going 9+1 and they actually got to some of these other issues? Or do you think they still have to hash out all the stuff that everybody's talking about on shows today?
Well, apparently there was one school that was pushing really hard to be allowed to roll with 12 games on their schedule. And that school was West Virginia, which is maybe a little bit surprising to me.
Interesting, since they lost two games.
Since they lost two games already. But West Virginia was the one that was that insistent on maintaining 12 games that caused a little bit of a holdup within the conference. Boy, how glad is the rest of the conference that West Virginia is in right now.
That's fantastic.
Ultimately, West Virginia realized that common sense was winning the day, and they agreed on this 9+1 model as well. But yes, it's not at all surprising that this conference that cannot get its ish together before last night to just come up with a general plan was not going to announce any semblance of what the schedule is going to look like. Hopefully it happens by the end of this week, Chad, because they don't have a ton of time now. Because they're the only conference that's playing in week 0.
Right.
Of the Power Five.
But that's why I couldn't understand last night. What would have hurt if it had just been 3 issues? We're going 9+1, the non-conference has to be a home game, and we will not start on the 29th.
It seems very easy to you and I.
Why couldn't that have been it?
Maybe it's because one of the teams is Oklahoma, and the Sooners are like, look, you need to let us figure this out, including if that means us keeping this game right here.
Yeah.
Because I believe they already started practice last Friday.
Yeah.
So that would require them to pause practice?
Well, again, if the reports are true that Lincoln Riley has stopped practice and gone back to just conditioning stuff
for now.
That's
true. That's true.
Then that tells me Lincoln Riley
He knows.
He either knows they're not playing on the 29th or he assumes they're not playing on the 29th. I mean, if he begs you last night, I guess that's one thing, but why in the world would Lincoln Riley be begging you to play Missouri State on the 29th?
They probably didn't want to make it official last night so that they could talk to Southwest Missouri State and maybe get some of their COVID testing back. But ultimately, they wanted to give Oklahoma the opportunity to break the news to Southwestern Missouri before they did as a conference in some random press release.
Yeah, maybe.
That's my hope. I am really trying to be an optimist here with the Big 12 and their planning, but the bottom line is they probably just didn't even consider why it would be important to actually set that start date last night.
Yes, and if you're going to be realistic about it for Oklahoma, their first conference game is not scheduled till October the 3rd, but they don't have to play it on October the 3rd. You could move everything up, but then you're messing with the rest of the schedule. So that, again, goes to a question we asked earlier in the show. Big 12 has the option that no other Power 5 really has, which is you're not adding conference games. So because of that, do you want to just leave it alone? You've already figured out bye weeks. You've already figured out scheduling, home and this and that. All you'd have to figure out is one non-conference for everybody at home, set that up, and then you could roll. And then you could get on to, you know, other stuff like, oh, I don't know, how do you keep your players as healthy as possible during a pandemic when you're asking them to play tackle football? That kind of stuff. Might want to figure that out on, oh, hey, look, it's August 4th. Bob Bowles, wait, August 4th? Do you know? Oklahoma, are they playing? You don't know? Okay. Just let us know whenever. You got our number? You're going to call us? Okay. Fair enough. All right, coming up, we will tell you why August 4th matters. Nolan Ryan going after Robin Ventura. It happened on this day. We'll talk about more of the old athlete stories that are fantastic. We've already had some great texts coming in from people about George Foreman and Pete Rose and some of those older athletes that are getting after it. We'll talk about some more of those stories. Plus, one of the great foods of all time, one of the great treats of all time, gets its own day. I think Trey is even a fan to let you know just how good this food is. We'll talk about it coming up on The Horn. The sound of this one, I'm not familiar with it. My only guess would be like Blind Melon.
Damn, nice work, son.
Is that him?
Yeah.
What's that?
Shannon Hoon.
Oh, the late Shannon Hoon, right?
Yeah.
A rest in peace.
R.I.P. Guy, I think of an overdose on his tour bus.
Yeah, sad story. That's a band I didn't get into enough. I'll admit it. I let the Bumblebee video take over because they played it too much and I got tired of the song.
And the shame of that too is that was a good song, Chad.
It wasn't bad. Yeah, it wasn't bad. It's just I got tired of it because I saw the video too damn much, and now like my body recoils when I hear that guitar riff. When I hear, I just want to run, and it's not a bad song. And they obviously had some other good stuff, and he was really talented, and it's a shame he's not around anymore. But that was definitely part of that 90s run, man. They got some play.
That song is very much, No Rain is very much like sitting on the dock of the bay in terms of the song sounding happier than what the lyrics would suggest.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're right. Yeah, not exactly a happy tune as you get into it. And obviously, in certain ways, he was not leading a happy life either, and unfortunately could not get himself out of that situation. So today it was a Living Color Radio playlist for Trey. You got one more coming up. Can I do a Living Color request at the end?
I was actually going to ask you during the commercial break, so what song Beautiful. Would you like to finish?
Yeah, we'll finish up with Middleman from Living Color. The first guitar riff I heard when I heard them live, when they opened for the Stones, Vernon Reid walked out on stage and started playing Middleman. So I want Middleman before we get out of here. It's a great riff. All right, so let's get to August 4th and why it matters.
Why Today Matters, brought to you by Sinus and Snoring Specialist. Get sinus and snoring relief with Dr. Daniel Slaughter at Sinus and Snoring Specialist. 512-601-0303 or sinussnoringent.com.
August 4th may matter to you for a lot of different reasons. Happy birthday to Roger Clemens. We mentioned that. Apparently, B.J. Johnson, the former Longhorn receiver, has a birthday today as well.
B.J., I loved him.
And if you're a trumpet player out there, one of your gods would have had a birthday today. Louis Armstrong would have been 119 years old. But that is not why August 4th matters to us specifically today. It matters because today in 1993, Robin Ventura walked up to the plate and Nolan Ryan hit him, but he hit him in, you know, like a baseball way. Hit him in the back, small of the back. Nothing crazy. Mm-hmm. Nothing crazy. Although, getting hit by a fastball from Nolan Ryan must have hurt. Robin Ventura turned, had a moment to save everybody, mainly himself. And then he chose not to, and he decided, yep, I'm all the way. I took a step. Now I can't take the step back. I got to go out here. And the rest is history. Nolan Ryan gave him five for fighting, and then he gave him one uppercut that will never be forgotten, and then didn't get thrown out of the game.
I think I know the answer already, but poor decision. Robin Ventura deciding to charge the mound that day, or Jose Bautista thinking it would be a good idea to slide into Rougned Odor at second base like he did a couple years ago.
Because
Bautista took the harder shot to the jaw.
He did.
Like, in terms of the cleanest shot taken on either guy, Bautista got the worst of it.
But the worst decision, I think, still belongs to Ventura.
Probably so, because that's going to stick with him a lot longer than Bautista getting the, you know what, knocked out of him by Odor behind second base.
Because if you add it all up, if you do the full math on, like, on those two guys, just add up Rougned Odor on that day and Nolan Ryan on that day, you'd want to face Odor.
Yeah.
You know, you just add everything up, and what you'd want is that. By the way, I forgot this quote earlier, but somebody tweeted this to us, and thank you for doing that to Jim, who tweeted us at this. Apparently, after the game, Nolan Ryan was asked about it, and one of his comments was, getting a ball player into a headlock is a lot easier than getting one of those big old steers into a headlock. He literally compared it to bulldogging. He compared it to steer wrestling.
Yeah.
Like, that's awesome.
Yeah, that's Nolan Ryan for you, man. What a classic quote. Wow.
So he was
great.
He's 46. Foreman was 45 when he won the championship belt. Somebody mentioned George Brett and Pine Tar as like an old athlete moment. George did play a long time.
Was he really old then?
I don't recall him being that old. That would have been like 2 years before they won the title in 85, I think.
Yeah.
So I don't know that he was that old, but we'll let you throw George Brett in because he's always a great athlete story.
How about Ken Griffey Sr. hanging around long enough to get to play with Junior?
Yeah.
Wasn't he into his mid-40s by then?
Yeah, he was. Yeah, he was an older player, definitely. Pete Rose has been mentioned. He broke the hit record at that point. One of my favorites, because I'm a tennis guy, is Jimmy Connors. Jimmy was 39 years old.
I remember that run.
And nobody sniffed the semifinals of the U.S. Open at 39. Now, we may be about to see it happen because Roger and Nadal and Serena Williams are doing incredible work into their 30s.
But see, Nadal dropped out.
Oh, did he?
Of the U.S. Open.
Yeah, that makes sense. But back in the day, Trey, when I was growing up, when you hit 30, you needed to figure out what retirement was for you in tennis.
Yeah.
He was 39, and he made that run, and the night matches were incredible. He's screaming at referees, and oh, it was unbelievable. His birthday happens during the tournament every year. The crowd singing happy birthday and everything. I mean, it was an incredible run, and 91 is when that happened.
It just goes to show you how much the advances in understanding training, nutrition, just what you're doing to your body and how you're putting it through the rigors of the sport, like that has an impact on how long you can play the game at a high level.
Yeah.
And it's so cool to see so many different guys and women doing it in a variety of sports, too. It's not like it's limited to just baseball or football or basketball or whatever. We're seeing it pretty much everywhere. The exception might be hockey. I'm not familiar enough with just general hockey rosters to know, although Jaromir Jagr is another one of those dudes who has been playing for a long time and doing so in legendary ways, and he has a legendary mullet to go along with it.
Well, how about Ovechkin? What's he, 65? I mean, Ovechkin's up there.
Yeah, no, he is older, because I remember having a conversation with Wags, who's a big Caps fan, about whether he can catch Gretzky's goal mark. And he said he was at least 3 or 4 years away if he kept up a level of play, I think.
Okay. Yeah, those hockey guys can play. Some of those guys can play a long, long time. I was just trying to look up Randy Couture out of the UFC. Randy, I want to say, won like a title in his 40s.
That's so funny you say that.
He won the heavyweight championship somewhere in his 40s.
Yeah, because I heard Joe Rogan on his podcast with, who's that screwed up singer who was just on his show last week? He's got the tattoos all over his face.
Post Malone?
Post Malone, thank you. He did a 4-hour podcast with Post Malone.
Oh, my God.
It was random. But at one point, they started talking about how badass Brock Lesnar was.
Oh, yeah.
Just as an athlete, as a guy who won an NCAA championship in wrestling.
Mm-hmm.
And then he ends up going into the WWE, and he's a part of the Minnesota Vikings squad for training camp through the preseason or whatever. And then he ends up making the decision to go into the UFC in the heavyweight division, and like four fights in, he ends up winning the title from Randy Couture.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if Couture was, I'm assuming he was on the back end of his career by then, but Rogan was talking about just how big of a badass Couture was in his prime.
Yeah, Couture here is listed as 57 years old. Let me just tell everybody, there's a guy you don't want to mess with at 57. That's a 57-year-old that will tear you up.
How do you spell the last name?
Couture. Randy Couture is a tough mother. I would not be messing with that guy. Yeah, the natural.
Oh, another, geez.
Another one of those guys.
57?
He's 57.
God.
Yeah, so we're talking old athletes because of the Nolan Ryan story today. He was 46 when he did that to Robin Ventura. One other thing we got to talk about here on August 4th and why it matters. Today is National Chocolate Chip Cookie Day. Trey, what sensible person doesn't like a good chocolate chip cookie? Please tell me. You're not going to food snob a chocolate chip cookie.
Oh, I'll food snob it in positive ways.
There you go.
It is on the Mount Rushmore of classic desserts,
The
chocolate chip cookie. And it may be, look, I think that there are better cookies than the straight up chocolate chip cookie. Love the oatmeal chocolate chip cookie. Love the kitchen sink cookie. There are some variations that are awesome. But the basic chocolate chip cookie in terms of a basic dessert is as good as it gets in my mind.
How about peanut butter chocolate chip?
I'm not as big on peanut butter as some people are. I'll do the peanut butter chips, but I don't like when you mix the peanut butter in to the batter, I don't like what that does to the crumb of the cookie.
Oh, that was a food snob comment. That was
very
good. Damn it,
you pulled it out of me.
Crumb of the cookie, ladies and gentlemen, if you missed that phrasing. I've never said that in my life. And he just said it like it was totally normal. Chocolate chip cookies are fantastic. Chewy or crunchy on a chocolate chip cookie? I can do both.
Crispy on the outside, chewy in the middle.
Oh, that's always a good combo, too. Just the Chips Ahoy, like the regular Chips Ahoy in the package you buy in the store.
Sure.
I'll kill five of those for no reason at all.
We were talking about, what is it, the Chipwich? Like, the Nestle Toll House cookie seems like a great Chipwich cookie, where you just get a couple of those and smash some ice cream in the middle, and you're onto something.
My mom used to go to Kroger and buy, one of the few treats she would buy us was chocolate chip cookies, and it felt, I was a little kid, I was like third grade, it felt like they were, you know, tire size. They were really big chocolate chip cookies, and they were crispy, and I would do one of those with an episode of He-Man every day with a glass of milk.
Awesome.
That was my day, third grade.
It's a hell of an afternoon snack.
Come home, chocolate chip cookie, glass of milk, He-Man, it was awesome.
Did you have you tried to make cookies a whole lot in your life?
No, not really.
Okay.
Not a ton.
This is going to maybe go over or under your head.
I've not done a lot of baking.
But I'm a pretty good cookie maker, and I still try from time to time. When I've made so many cookies or so much dough that I've got like enough for one sheet and a little bit more for a second sheet, on that second sheet, rather than making like four or five smaller cookies, just saying bleep it and trying to make that one huge cookie that's like borderline pizza cookie size.
Yeah.
Except doing it on the regular baking sheet, it usually doesn't work out all that well.
It never tastes good. It never works out,
I mean,
out,
it tastes
right?
good because it's a chocolate chip cookie, but it doesn't get the consistency throughout that you're looking for that you get with the smaller cookies.
Do you ever just make the big cookie, then take some icing and write happy birthday to me on it and then eat the whole thing?
If I was an icing guy, I would. I just say a prayer for my inner fat kid and just eat the whole thing.
See, I'm the same way. Whether it's a cookie cake or an ice cream cake, I don't understand the extra stuff on top. I just want the cookie or the ice cream.
Totally unnecessary.
Yeah, that's all I want.
So if you're going with the icing, you're right. You're better off just scraping the icing off and just going with a scoop of ice cream. Because that's all the icing is doing, is giving a little bit of that fat.
Yeah, that's true.
A little bit of moisture.
One year, my mom, I wanted just cookies and ice cream for my birthday, and she couldn't understand it. She wanted to make a cake or do something. I was like, Mom, I'm telling you, you don't need to do that. And so she went and bought some pints of Blue Bell. And we took the pints of Blue Bell, froze them real good, then literally turned them upside down on big plates and exposed them.
Wow.
And just ate them like that and had cookies.
You were eating it like a guacamole? Yeah. Like dipping the cookies into the ice cream?
It was strong.
That's incredible.
It's a great idea.
Pulling that one off with my kids' birthdays in the next couple months.
We just cut it off in hunks and hand it to... So you're not all eating off the same thing. You just cut like a third of it
cutting
off.
Cutting slabs.
Hand it to my mom. Here, you have yours. It was great.
Great idea by Mom Hastings.
Awesome. All right, there's why August 4th matters. National Chocolate Chip Cookie Day and the anniversary of Nolan Ryan getting after Robin Ventura. I was going to say going after Robin Ventura, but that's not what happened. Nolan was defending himself. He was a 46-year-old man who was defending himself. And he just, he went all Marvel Comics on Robin Ventura. It was Robin's fault. All right, coming up, stems and seeds before we get out of here. More opt-outs, opt-out discussion. We got another one in college football. We'll re-mention that one for you. Also, some other college football notes. Hopefully we find out about the Big Ten coming up. We'll get some baseball out there, too. Cross your fingers. The Marlins are scheduled to play tonight. Don't tell the COVID police. This is The Horn. All right, just about done on a Tuesday. Sam Pica jumping into the producer's chair because he's about to produce the triple option. What do you got, Sam?
This is Clinton Fearon, loves knocking.
Loves knocking. There you go. All right, earlier we were getting a little Living Color playlist from Trey.
Ah, shoot. I had
Sam coming in.
I had your song pulled up, too.
Oh,
I'm sorry.
Man. Can you pull up Middleman by Living Color for me so I can just hear the riff? Can I just be that guy? Request a riff real quick. We can do that, can't we? We'll get that done before Stems and Seeds. But earlier we heard Blind Melon. We heard Jane's Addiction. We heard a little Living Color. And what was the other? Oh, Helmet.
Yeah.
It's an interesting
playlist. Helmet action.
Well, nothing wrong with that. Very good. Good riff there as well. All right. So we'll get to a couple of other Stems and Seeds items. We've been talking a lot of Big 12 today as they scheduled it up. There you go. Little middleman.
It would have come sooner, but I had to wait through an ad.
Oh, that's not good.
You're getting crazy on YouTube, bro.
Yeah, there you go. All right, there you go. Okay, so let's go Stems and Seeds here, and we'll update you on the Big 12 to start with. No stress, no seeds, no stems, no sticks. Brought to you by AV Consultations, 255-8678, 255-8678, or go to avconsultations.com. Big 12 going with 9 conference games plus 1 non-conference. And as of this moment, Texas and Oklahoma still planning to play at the Cotton Bowl. As we stated earlier, if you're looking for a place with no foot traffic, the Cotton Bowl really is it. If you're not doing the state fair at all, Trey, and that SWAC game is not happening, the other game that occurs in that building with Grambling and Prairie View, if those two things are true, and all you're trying to do, I say all you're trying to do, but get a decreased amount of Texas and Oklahoma fans in and out, get the teams in and out, maybe you can pull it off in October. I don't know. We'll see.
I am fascinated to know what the plan is for fans entering the stadium. If they're allowed to show up early and hang out prior and try and practice social distancing, if beer and corn dogs are going to be sold on that day, because you know that the vendors and Fletchers would probably appreciate at least one day of being able to sling products. Now, you have to be careful, and it's going to be a much smaller amount versus what you're making on a normal Texas OU Saturday, but I'm okay with this right now. I think that they will put the necessary safeguards in place, even if it means just look, you show up to the fairgrounds and you go into the stadium, and that's kind of going to be the experience this year. I think it is a better plan than trying to go home and home for 2 years.
What I need, though, is for both sides to make, like, cool plexiglass things they can carry where you have, like, a little place where you put the hand so you can form it into the flip-off gesture. Hmm. But there's plexiglass then between you and the Sooner or the Longhorn, so you can both just walk up and smash the plexiglass together. You're still flipping each other off, but you're protecting yourself and them from getting COVID-19.
You know how many stupid little Sooner kids are going to look like the chihuahua in the backyard that doesn't realize that the glass door is closed and just runs into that thing middle finger first?
You're right.
I'm sorry. Your kids aren't stupid Sooners.
I love you. That'll do it. Let's see. What else we have? NFL news. Kind of good news here. Gardner Minshew's back off of the COVID list. It's been like 2 days, and I guess they got him a negative test.
Dude, Gardner Minshew had a great, I'm going to have to pull it up now, but he had a great tweet in announcing his return. Ah, where is it? I can't see it just yet. Gardner Minshew's a badass, though, people. That's the bottom line.
He's fun. I need to follow him on Twitter. That's a guy that's got to be entertaining to follow on Twitter.
Okay, so Gardner Minshew went Chuck Norris when asked about testing positive for COVID.
Okay.
He said, I did not actually contract the virus. It took one look at me and ran the other way.
He was on that list, which means you could be positive or you could just be around somebody that tested positive. Two of those other guys are his roommates.
Yeah.
So, but all of them are back off the list now. I mean, he and the other four players are now off the COVID list.
Speaking of COVID and being on a list, according to Shams, Clippers guard Lou Williams has cleared his 10-day quarantine and will make his NBA restart debut today against the Suns.
Cool.
So the Clippers, already one of the best teams in basketball, just got that much stronger.
I bet that strip club's going to sell a lot of those wings moving forward.
Yeah.
Cross your fingers, Trey, but there's a game scheduled at 6:35 our time tonight in Baltimore, and the Marlins are in town. You want to talk about being careful when a guy gets to first base? Tonight's the night. Be careful, Orioles. I'm looking at you.
Good luck, Marlins.
Careful.
Good luck. St. Louis is stuck in the middle of it right now. They're not going to be playing for probably another week. Hey, Chad, have you seen what Cam Newton looks like in a Patriots jersey yet?
I have not.
He took the team photo either earlier today or yesterday.
All right. A little red, white, and blue.
There you go.
Oh, that is weird.
The dark top.
God, that's weird. Oh, that's just weird. Yeah. You shouldn't be in that shade of blue.
I know.
Come on, Cam.
With the Patriot heads on the sleeves.
Right. Even though that's kind of Auburn shade of blue.
It is.
The Patriots guys on the, and the red in there.
It feels wrong.
It's so wrong. Blue and orange you're supposed to wear. That's Auburn, but no, or the turquoise, the teal, but no, not that. That's going to take a little while. Take a little while to get used to. Just like, even though he's now playing for a team that I actually root for, I'm going to need at least 4 games of Tom Brady wearing another jersey and another uni to get used to. I mean, it's just going to be so strange to see. Phillip Rivers wearing blue and white?
I don't think I'm ever going to get used to that one. I'll get used to Brady in a Bucs uniform. For whatever reason, Phillip Rivers in any uniform outside of the Chargers just looks wrong.
By the way, Trey, just to get it accurate, Randy Couture came out of retirement, won the heavyweight championship at 43 for the third time.
That's bonkers. In that sport?
In that sport. That's a tough guy. That's a tough old guy.
Yeah.
Just like Nolan Ryan and what he did to Robin Ventura back in 1993 on this day. All right, back for a Wednesday show tomorrow. That means at 1 we'll talk with Justin Wells of Inside Texas. Hopefully we'll get a Big Ten announcement on a schedule tomorrow. Everybody be safe. It's going to be another hot one out there. Triple option coming right up. See ya.